Leadership is about giving every single day. It's always thinking of your people first and the people that you're there to support. You're there to serve them. They're your clients, and whether they're your employees or your agents, and you've got to take that approach. It's not a take position. It's a definitely give, give, give position.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry Sales Professionals, Property Managers and Leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of today's show. My guest today is eView founder and CEO Manos Vindakakis. As Australia's first multi-brand agency, eView has enjoyed incredible growth since the model launched in 2015. On the back of the ethos that the agent is more important than the brand. So Manos, finally, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Samantha, for having us, and really excited to be here.
It feels like you should have been on the podcast ages ago. I don't know how you've escaped me, but it was fantastic to catch up with you and Maria recently at ARIC. How did you enjoy this year's event?
Look, I've been to 15 ARICs. And we had a number of the team that were fortunate enough to be able to make it, especially from Victoria. We escaped the lockdown just obviously pre the lockdown. And out of the fifth, I would say it's in the top three of the ARICs that I've attended. We saw a lot of great content, some consistent themes out of ARIC as well that came out of it. Consistency was one of those themes. Working as a sales agent, smaller areas, working quality over quantity. So some great takeaways and the client care programs that so many people talked about. So they were the three things that we really took away and reviewed in our business. So yeah, we loved it. And of course, Jackie Cooper, she was the absolute highlight for ourselves. Yeah, she was sensational.
Speaking of takeaways, many of our listeners will be familiar with you because you're a regular contributor to Elite Agent and you focus on how agents can achieve success through the simple things, I would say. I want to get into that in a moment. Let's backtrack a bit. So for some people that don't know you so well, I think you've mentioned from time to time that you've come into real estate kicking and screaming. So tell us a little bit about how you ended up in the real estate industry.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't a career choice that we had made. I entered real estate at the age of 39, and I came into real estate because I lost a bit with my amazing wife, Maria Vindakakis. She got into real estate in 2001 because someone said to her that she'd be really good in real estate. And to cut a long story short, at that time, we were running 7 franchised hospitality stores, Flaky Jake's Fish and Chips. I was really heavily involved in a family business. We had 200 staff. Can you imagine all the ages of 16 to 18 years of age? You can imagine the hormone levels we had to deal with at that time, which, by the way, didn't really change too much when we entered real estate, but that would be another story to tell. But to cut a very long story short, Maria had a passion for real estate. Within 1 year, she knew she wanted her own office, but she didn't want to do it by herself. She wasn't crazy about the hospitality industry and the level of commitment that required, both from a financial and from a time perspective. And said we'd be really good at real estate. And it was the last thing I ever wanted to do. But I did lose a bet, I should say. She gave us a bit of an ultimatum and said, honey, it's either me and real estate or you and your family and fish and chips. So you got a big decision to sort of make. I've actually secured a franchised office, a part of the network that she was with. And you got to make a choice. So happy wife, happy life, as they say. And in 2003, I've actually got our 18-year anniversary on Thursday, being the 1st of July. So 2003, we started our business back then, and that's when I entered in real estate.
Amazing. And I think there's a lot of people in the industry that would agree with me that you made a very wise and good choice there.
Yes, very, very. And it's been spectacular. I must admit, the first 9 months of real estate, I didn't know what I was doing. I was a fish out of water. I didn't really enjoy it. I came to work in a denim suit to make sure I didn't talk to vendors and to buyers and take phone calls. True story, no word of a lie. And it just so happens one day some buyers came into the office. I was asked by the receptionist to take them to a vacant house, which I did in my denim suit. Not a pretty look. I was probably still stuck in the 80s, as my wife always says. But to cut a long story short, those buyers actually bought that property just by me sort of giving them the brochure, giving them the price. They didn't negotiate anything. They paid full asking price. I went home that day and I said, honey, is that all you do? Is that how easy it is to sell property? And made my first sale. And then, of course, everything kind of changed from there. But I think the opportunity that we had being in real estate for the first 9 months and not being on the tools, I was able to work on the administration side, all the back end mechanics of real estate. So it gave me a really phenomenal helicopter view of all the moving parts. And I guess really that's where the start of the EVIEW story sort of commenced, and how we can support agents to do exactly the same thing that is what we needed back then. So yeah, that's how it evolved. We ended up selling. We worked as an EBU, as a husband and wife selling team. I focused on the buyers. Maria focused on the vendors. And we're selling about 120 homes. We did that for 3 years consecutively. So it was a high volume business, but we really knew what to do. So it was exciting. 3 years we kept that business, and then we took a year off in 2006, and we started EVIEW at the end of 2006. So it's fast track. It's almost 15 years now. Yeah.
On the contrary, I think the denim suit is proof of what they say today about being authentically you in real estate.
Yeah, so true.
I think you can't go wrong.
No.
So you and Maria work very closely together, and we see it a lot in small real estate offices, husband and wife working closely together. Historically, it used to be the husband would be the sales guy and the wife would look after the property management, the trust account and all that sort of stuff. And it's hard. Like, I mean, Mark and I work together in the business and it's 24/7 almost some days. How do you and Maria work so closely together as a couple and stay sane?
Yeah, it's a great question. We often get asked that. And I think we blended real estate and family all into one. And we don't separate work to family. It's all life for us. And I think because we're just so passionate about the industry and the opportunities that it affords and the flexibility that it provides, you can really learn to work in this industry, enjoy the benefits of obviously what it provides and giving you that flexibility of lifestyle. I mean, we've never had more fun in our lives, and it continues every year. It just gets better and better. And it's, people talk about getting that work-life balance. We've never really totally struggled with it at all. It's just part of life for us. And our kids grew up with it as well. So when we entered real estate, they were young, 8 and 9 years of age. And they've grown with us in the business. One of our youngest is in the corporate team with us now. He's almost 25 years of age. Yeah, Costa. He's my son, but he's an amazing young talent. And he's an inspiration to our team as well, because he's really taken the reins and responsibility of his role and taken it to another level as well. And our eldest son is in social media lead generation. He's expanded and created his own business called Creators of Omnipresence, helping other businesses, including real estate agents, to generate leads. So as a family, we've embraced real estate and been extremely grateful for the opportunity that it's afforded us and the lifestyle that it's provided us.
So let's talk about growth, because every time I turn around, you've got a new office or a new presence somewhere, and most recently in Queensland, which is where we are. So tell me about your growth story from 2015, because what's been your approach to sort of growing the network to the place it is today?
For 10 years, so from 2006 through to 2015, we were growing organically the network under the EVIEW Group banner, and we expanded to 4 individual offices, and we provided all the essential services. So our model was just a little bit different in the sense that, you know what, it was just easier for us to provide all the essential services, sales support, trust accounting, even from reception, branding, the whole collateral that you require to run an operation. So we provided a vehicle for our directors to drive, and we trained the directors to drive it as fast as they can. We were the pit crew that was servicing the vehicle. As long as they didn't, you know, they drove it forward, left, right, as fast as they wanted, as long as they didn't drive it backwards. And by taking all that back-end administration away from them, they could really focus on what they needed to do, which was grow a team and a property management division. But there was something missing. We looked and feeled exactly like every other network, even though we were quite small at that time. And I said, you know what? We've got to provide them the vehicle, be the pit crew to help them. But from a marketplace position, they needed to choose their own color and personalize the number plate. And that's how our model, Your Brand, Your Business, was born. It was March the 3rd, believe it or not, it was March the 3rd back in 2015. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I do remember my dates. I woke up Maria and I said, honey, I think I found the missing piece. They've got to be part of that. We've got to provide them all the support, but for them to really leverage their impact in the marketplace and generate more leads, they've got to be their own brand. Because everyone was talking about the agent being in front of the brand as opposed to the brand being in front of the agent and being in business for themselves but not by themselves, and it's their business. But no one really provided that sort of platform that they actually could look that individual in the marketplace as an office and dominating a territory and to bring their own personality. You mentioned earlier on about authenticity, and it was really evident to us, especially when we launched Your Brand, Your Business, that as soon as someone came in with their own brand and colors and their stamp and their trademark as such, it just amplified everything. We trademarked List With One, Sell With All, so there was still that collaborative approach. And we liken our operation now to us being the Intel chip that powers the computer. Everyone chooses their own computer and they brand it the way they want it to, but we're the Intel chip that still drives and obviously powers all the back-end administration.
It is interesting because more and more, like they're saying, even in the social media world, that people resonate with a person rather than a brand. So it is interesting how that has evolved since 2015 when you started.
It was really born from the consumer because, I mean, we had agents within our network that obviously moved on, or agents that came and joined us from other brands. And vendors wanted to list the property with those agents. They didn't really care if they were yellow or blue or red. They just wanted to list with that particular agent. And so we've got to take that customer-centric approach of what's really good for the customer is going to be great for the agent, then it's going to be good for the business. And there's got to be a win-win right through that chain, more importantly for the consumer. How do we obviously look after the consumer and serve them what they want and deliver on our promises each and every day? And that's making sure that they can deal with the person they want to deal with.
So what do you think are some of the challenges that agents are facing in the current market?
Well, there's talk about shortage of listings, and I debated that for some time. And look, I predicted when COVID was obviously occurred back 12 months ago, just over 12 months ago, and we did some obviously research at that time. I predicted that the 20s was going to be our roaring 20s, just like it was in the 1920s, because history has a funny way of repeating itself. As long as everyone remains safe and well, that's the priority. From a financial point of view, I saw a boom coming, and we really prepared the team for that. But the challenges that people are talking about right now, shortage of listings, they're not actually looking at the numbers. They're actually not a shortage of listings. We've got more turnover now in just about every single marketplace that we work in than what we did in 2017. There's probably 30 to 40% more transactions occurring. So when vendors are telling sales agents, oh, I'm not sure about selling my home because I don't know where to go to, this is the time for them to actually sell, because there's more properties coming onto market to select. It just because days on market has been so compressed that it seems like there's a shortage of stock when there's actually quite a bit of stock. So the numbers always have a philosophy, and the numbers set you free and predict the future. And if you analyze the numbers as an agent, all your challenges can be really solved. So when people talk to me, I have a prospecting challenge. But if you reverse engineer it and say, well, what have you done? Because our results today are in absolutely direct reflection to what we did 6 to 12 months ago, and if not longer. on my daily communication with my team, I just share some snippets. And today's communication was, okay, we're coming to the end of the financial year. Let's just review some of the basics that you could have done from the beginning of the financial year. I said, if you added 5 people to your database on a weekly basis from the 1st of July 2020, you should have approximately 250 extra names on your database. Now, when you do the maths and you say, okay, 10% of those people are going to sell over the next 12 months because they're in real estate mode. It's just, if you look at the numbers, if you're selling average commission of $15,000, there's the potential out of those 250 to be approximately $375,000 worth of GCI available to you as long as you nurture those clients. I'm not saying you're going to get 100%, but you're more than likely going to get 80% of them. So the value of data and not looking at a person's name as an entry in your CRM as data, but an actual person, I always say get a picture of them. So when you look at them, it's not data. You'll have a different perception of the value of that contact.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think people talk about databases way too much and don't think about who the people are, you know, that they're talking to. Mm. I'm on databases.
Yeah.
I know how it feels.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You are a regular contributor to Elite Agent and your articles are very well read. I think I check most weeks and they're always in the top 10 trending list. And it's mainly due, I think, to a lot of the great tips that you provide. You just provided some great tips there as well and some leadership advice. So today we're going to do the Leadership Diaries with you, which is a bunch of questions that I ask leaders in the industry to find out what makes them tick and hopefully help young and aspiring leaders, which is right up your alley, actually, like creating brands and businesses.
Well, our mantra is to help and inspire leaders and agents to create fun and profitable businesses so they can live an extraordinary life.
Yeah.
That's our mantra. That's what we live by. So well,
let's have some fun then. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. All right. What was your first job and what did it teach you?
Oh, I was a car wash attendant at the age of 15. The day I turned 15, when we were allowed to actually get our job, I got my first job. And what that taught me was being disciplined to arrive on work on time, the work ethic. If there was anything that I learned from my first job, it was the work ethic and the responsibility you had to the employer and obviously to the clients in doing a great job.
What's one common myth about leadership, particularly in this industry, that you think you would like to set straight?
Yeah, leadership is well, it's probably not a myth. It is lonely at times. It's really a lot of hard work. There's a lot of decisions you have to make and a lot of things that come your way. It's not as easy as people think. And to give guidance to someone who's thinking about taking that role, it's real. You've got to be a real giver. Okay, leadership is about giving every single day. It's always thinking of your people first and the people that you're there to support. You are there. You're there to serve them. They're your clients. And whether they're your employees or your agents, and you've got to take that approach. It's not a take position. It's a definitely give position.
What does the first hour of your day look like? And how does it go after that? Are you like a 5 a.m. clubber or?
Yeah, no. So I definitely am an early riser. So, but I run a program called Game Day. Okay, it's a great question, actually. It's something that I really focused on when COVID was launched, and we actually run it with the team. And Game Day stands for gratitude, affirmations, meditation, exercise, daily journal, always be learning, and your why. I start the day with that. So the first thing we do is we take out our gratitude journal. We look at our affirmations. We use our meditation. I go for a walk every morning. Now, it doesn't happen every morning. And I always say this to our team because it's a program we run with our team and say, you've got to fit it in during the day because sometimes you've got an early run to the airport. Sometimes you've got an early appointment with someone and you might miss it, but just make sure you fit it in your day throughout at some point in your day. So I'll often, if I miss my walk in the morning, I'll go home at lunchtime if I'm anywhere near home or I've got my runners in my car and I do my exercise during the day. But Game Day is how we start our day. Yeah.
I love the acronym too.
Yeah.
It's really good. Okay. Who are the three most influential people to you in your career and why?
Oh, gee whiz. Definitely Lee Woodward. He was probably our first coach that we went to, and the Hot Topics CD. So Lee was very instrumental in regards to understanding the real estate process and applying that. So always, I think everyone has a lean towards their first coach in real estate. So definitely Lee in that sort of regard. I admire absolutely Chris Hanley, and he's been a major influence to us in real estate. And there's been a number more people, obviously John McGrath from afar, not that we know John on a personal basis, but definitely from afar. And I think we take away lots of little things from everyone, Samantha. There's not, I really like to sort of see the differences and the approaches that different people take from Tom Panos, Josh Fegan. And I really take a lot from the coaches in the industry and then the individual leaders within the industry, like Dane Atherton and Chris Hanley, who's running his business, Phil Harris. And we've known Phil for many, many years. And then I'm also inspired by the no names, okay? The people that you actually see who aren't up on stage, who aren't on the speaking circuit and so forth, and who do absolutely amazing things, the quiet achievers and the gold that comes out of those. So, yeah, and there's lots of those.
It's funny, I'm inspired too by people that just kind of wander in and you interview them. It's like, oh, wow, that's really interesting what you do, you know. Yeah, yeah. And it still happens even after 5 years.
Yeah, and there's too many to mention as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think one thing about real estate that really when we first came into it, I think real estate agents are some of the most giving people and generous people on the planet. We certainly don't deserve the reputation that many of the community or the stereotype reputation that we have out there. They're the most giving and generous people out there.
Definitely. Looking back, what do you think was your biggest learning experience as a leader?
Biggest learning experience. I can make anything look great on an Excel spreadsheet, anything, all numbers. And so, and we've built our business on numbers, but the emotional side of this industry and the ups and downs of this industry in so many aspects and in every area of real estate is the one that you've really got to master. It's the mindset that's the biggest thing that you really have to master. And that's been my biggest learning experience, because I'm a numbers person. I'm kind of like black and white sort of thing. The numbers sort of work out, but then you've got to attach the emotional side of it and go, okay. And so many people are different. And probably one of the other things as well, there's never a one size fits all in this industry. What I've learned is there's a vendor for every agent, an agent for every vendor, an agency for every agent, and an agent for every agency. And when I think of that, because I remember when we first started, we'd interview some people to join our team. And if they weren't like me, I'm thinking, oh, I would never list my home with them. Because I thought if I would list my home with them, they'll be a really good fit. And it's furthest from the truth. They've got to have the integrity, the honesty. They've got to have, like, we focus really on clients being client-centric. What will they do for the client? How far and above and beyond will they go? How they get to that point is really irrelevant, because they're going to find their tribe. All us agents who have been out in the field know that when we lose a listing to a particular agent, we think to ourselves, how on earth did that person list that property? Do you know what I mean? Because we think they should be like us, but that was a really big learning curve, and that really helped us in our business as well.
It's so true. And somebody wise told me a few years ago, for every ugly house, there's an ugly buyer too. Right along the same thought pattern. But yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. What's your favorite question to ask someone in a job interview, and what does it tell you about the person?
I always talk about client experience. So client experience for us is, just, I always say to them, give me a story about how you've gone above and beyond for your clients. And then I'll also ask the question, how do you cooperate with your team members? Because look, if you're client-centric, what we've found is you're really team-centric as well. I've never met anyone who's client-centric who's not team-centric as well. So that's what we really focus on. And in a sticky situation, if you've had a disgruntled client, how do you handle that? And that response, that's huge. How they talk about that and the passion that they talk about it with, like they really want to help they have empathy for the clients rather than having a wall to the client. And when they understand that not all business is good business, but the way they let it go, it tells you a lot about a person and how they behave.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like whether it's a learning experience or whether it's just something that, you know, is wrong, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, they're wrong. They're having a go at me. They're wrong. Whereas what can I learn is a completely different disposition.
Mm. Emotional IQ. It's all about that.
Yeah. Where do great ideas in your business come from?
Oh, from challenges. Definitely. So we see opportunity. So when we see a challenge, we see an opportunity. I'll give you a classic example, which was fundamental in our business. When we were expanding and opening up other offices, that organic and people wanted to open up their own office. And then we had to train their staff how to do the trust accounting and how to do administration. It was all too hard because they weren't really great people and leaders in that sort of, from an administration point of view. So that created an opportunity for us. I'm thinking it's just more affordable for us to actually do all the work for them. And it was. So we created a business to do the trust accounting with the same thing we did with the bookkeeping business. And we've got separate businesses that actually support other businesses outside of eView in specialist fields. So whenever we see a challenge, I try and find the opportunity. And that's how the great ideas come out.
I love that. Mm. I absolutely love that. Okay, this is a good question for you. What does leadership at home look like?
Yeah. My best man said a fantastic line at our wedding, and he goes, Manos, you'll always wear the pants in the family, but Maria will always choose the color. And look, quite truthfully, we have I've been blessed, and I've always said if my boys are half as lucky as me, they're going to have an extraordinary life with their life partner. And luckily enough, they've been great as well. So I think just having great communication at home, just having fun with everything. We're a husband and wife, so we do the exact same things as every other husband and wife. And I think that's really healthy at the end of the day. We're very, very blessed that with work, we don't see it interfering with our lives, that we might talk about it at the kitchen table or amongst the kids. So we've had very common goals ever since we met. A quick story on how we met: backpacking around Europe when I was 21, met her. She was 17 years of age. 3 weeks later, we got engaged, and the rest is kind of history. We did a bit of the islands together, and then she's come back to Australia. So she's an amazing individual, didn't know English or anything like that. So when she came, when she was 18, had to learn English, and obviously she's loved this country. And we've always had that connection to Greece as well. So we've always traveled back there. So we've had a real balanced life, Samantha. We've been blessed. We've had our ups and downs and stuff like that, and from health challenges as well. But we're very, very grateful. I say to people, it feels like a fairy tale on many occasions. So, yeah.
I think that's what attracts a lot of people to you guys, is that feeling of family.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. And yeah, it's all about family. And we do treat work as family. Some people have said about business, it shouldn't be family because sometimes you have to exit people. You don't exit people from your family and stuff like that. And I said, you know what? That's our authenticity. That's our DNA. We treat everyone as our family, and we treat everyone with kindness, compassion, empathy. We're not about how much volume you sold. So our definition of high performance is totally different, well, to probably what most people would think, how many homes you sell. We always talk about how well you treat each individual. High performance to us is, do you get repeat clients from the people that you actually deal with? That to us is a better measure than selling 50 homes in a year. It just is. And we'd rather have more of those people than people who are going to churn and burn clients.
That's a really interesting statistic that you raised there, actually, because a lot of people are obsessed with how many properties they've sold in this industry. Like that's the number that everyone talks about, but you know, how many clients are repeat business, I think is a lovely way to look at it.
And I have a saying, volume is vanity and profit is sanity, because sometimes agents aspire, and some agents aspire to sell the most amount of homes, and it has nothing to do with how much profit they're left with. And that's okay too. If that's what drives them, I think that's a really big tick. So long as all the other boxes are ticked as well, client service, great camaraderie amongst the team, all those sorts of things. But there is a tipping point as well. I call it the law of diminishing returns, that some EBUs and some offices actually grow to a size that if they grow any further, their profitability actually goes backwards. And we call it the law of diminishing returns. And in most businesses, there is a tipping point where you go, we've hit saturation point and maximizing the profit.
We actually found that too. We did a survey of the top areas agents, and we found that once you go beyond four in the team, there is diminishing returns.
Yeah.
I'll send you the picture.
Yeah, and even from an appraisal point of view, when we speak to high performing agents that have, and they're doing like $2 million within a team, it's the number of appraisals. If you're going over, it's the magic number is between 28 to 31 appraisals a month. When you go over that, your actual customer service and delivery actually starts to diminish, because you can't cope with that volume.
That's the start of a new podcast, but let's finish this one first. Cool. How do you motivate people when times are tight?
I don't know if you can motivate people. I think you can inspire people, but motivating, it's got to be from themselves. I always try and give examples of where they have been. Always, we use what we call the reverse bucket list. Okay, so one of our training programs, a reverse bucket list, because sometimes we always focus on things that we want to achieve in the future, but we need to focus on our successes of the past to keep us inspired, and hopefully that motivates us. So, for example, if from an agent's point of view, if your goal was once to sell 5 homes in a month, put that on your reverse bucket list to always remind you, hey, I did it once. Or if you bet a competitor, or you exceed an exceptional price, or if it's a personal achievement, like something crazy, like walking 50 kilometers on a walk, just remind yourself of your past achievements to fuel you for the future when you're down and so forth. So reverse bucket lists are really important to us as much as vision boards.
Yeah, I like it. That's great. I might go and do that myself, actually. Okay, when it comes to, you mentioned a few of your favorite resources and mentors and things like that, but are there any books or resources that have helped you along the way? Because we like to sort of leave a couple of links to the books and things like that in the show notes.
Yeah, I think the first book that I read coming into real, or actually I won't say real estate, into business, was How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And I think that's an absolute must for leaders. If you want to influence people and you want to have a great way of connecting with people, I think it's a 100-year-old classic, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I think it's a must read. One of the most recent books that I read that's had a major impact is Die with Zero by Bill Perkins. So I'm not sure if you've heard of that book.
No, I haven't.
Samantha, I read it about 6 months ago. I just had the Blinkist short version, so I haven't read the full version, and it really, really made an impact in regards to sometimes what we aspire for and what we want to achieve out of life. We're already there and we don't need to keep going. And Die with Zero is, it really gives you some clarity in your why. I have a saying that everything falls in place when you truly know what you want. And I think that's, and you asked a question earlier on, and I should have made mention that most agents, challengers or directors, is they don't truly know what they want. They think they know what they want, but they don't really know what they want, if that kind of makes sense. They might aspire to have 1,000 property management, for example, or build a team of 20 agents. I've had more directors who aspire to that, and then suddenly they put on one or two team members and they go, you know what, this is just getting too hard. I'll just focus on being a great EBU, making a lot of money and reinvesting my money in property or something like that. So when you truly know what you want, everything falls into place.
That's great advice, and I'm going to go look up that book now.
Yeah, it's a good one. Die with Zero.
Yeah, amazing. So, Manos, it's been great catching up with you, and thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us on the podcast. I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that are going to get a lot out of some of your answers and some of your thinking, as well as the articles and things like that that you write for us. So thank you very much for those as well. I was just wondering if you have one final thought or one final piece of advice or something that you think people should, the one action that you'd like people to take as a result of listening to this podcast today.
The number one thing is to, probably going back to the reverse bucket list, is really looking back at their past achievements to help them move forward to their next achievements. Really go right back and say, yeah, I did that, and really congratulate themselves and pat themselves on the back. Because I think the words that we use to talk to ourselves sometimes are some of the cruelest words. So if people can obviously look at their reverse bucket list and see their past achievements, I think it will really help them moving forward and obviously in their current place.
It's amazing what we can do when we set our minds to it, yeah, or when we think we can.
Yes, 100%.
Absolutely. Manos Vindakakis, thank you so much.
Samantha, thank you so much for having us. I really enjoyed it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts. Visit eliteagentelevate.com.